This is the Sterling Clear Audio Podcast, Episode 11, Music to Our Ears. Welcome in to our Sterling Clear Audio community. I am Michael Sterling, founder of Sterling Clear Audio, and your audio mentor. This is our weekly program when we talk about the fusion of techniques and technology for social audio, podcasting, and live streaming. Each of us only has 24 hours in the day, so it means a lot to me that you're spending a little part of it with us. Thank you. Attached to this program is a link to our Discord server. That's our central hub for our audio creator community. So as we get started, I invite you to join us there to network with others, learn new things, and get exclusive access to Sterling Clear Audio. I would say that music is something that we all can appreciate and we all feel some sort of emotional attachment to. It certainly can set the mood for any number of things that we're doing. If we feel sad, if we feel happy, or whatever. And as content creators, whether it's a podcast like this one, or you're a live streamer, or whatever, music can really be powerful. It can set the tone for your content. And so I wanted to talk about that today on the podcast. If you want to use music for your content, there are a number of things to take into account. One of them certainly is legality, making sure that the music that you use, you have the rights to use, because you can get into sticky legal situations if you don't. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Now, what we're going to focus on is music that other people create. And the reason I say that is, obviously, there are programs like GarageBand available for Apple products where you can actually get loops and so on, and you can create your own music. And that's great. If you can do that, if you have the time for that, that's wonderful. I definitely recommend you look into something like that. The music that I used, for example, is not music that I created. It's from a service called StreamBeats. You can find that at streambeats.com. I found that music library on a YouTube channel from a guy named Harris Heller, who has the Alpha Gaming channel. And he had a whole bunch of really great music produced, and it's available for anybody to use. And so I decided to use one of the tracks for the music here for Sterling Clear Audio. And let's dive deeper into this. That music that I used is actually completely copyright and license free. I can use it for whatever I'd want as long as I don't just play it like on a radio station or something. So there are rights even to copyright free music like that. So let's dive into this. My friend Sean Savage, who works at AR Media and produces music and content all the time and is definitely well-versed on all of this, has a lot that he can share with us today. And so I want to pass the mic over to him. And my first question, Sean, is what are the different types of music that are available for people to choose? And what are the first things we need to take into consideration?
So there's sort of three areas that most people need to think about. And one of them is Creative Commons, the other one's royalty-free, and then the last one's public domain. So with the Creative Commons music, that will allow you to share compositions for free, and you won't have to worry about any of the licensing. And it's usually a piece of music you don't need permission to get, but it is just something that the artist has just said, here, go and use it. And that is one way to do it. Caveat with all of these too is if they're just out there, other people may have been using it too. And sometimes you'll have the perfect music to go with what you want, and then you'll hear it somewhere else. And then people might have associated with something else, and they'll say, oh, I heard that before. That can happen. Royalty-free music, where there's no fee required, like StreamBeats and there's some other ones, and then public domain, where the copyright is just expired and it is by a real artist or a label or whatever, but you can still use it. And through those three tracks, for me, with me, my company, and with, when customers come to us, we do everything custom, and that's part of our service. But there are some places where you can get free, and I'll probably go into paid afterwards. So we'll just talk about free, I guess, is where you want to direct it right now. So the first one I recommend for people to is Pixabay. That's a great one. There's the YouTube audio library, huge stuff there that you can get. And there's a bunch of other ones. Income Tech is a good one too. There's an actual station, quote, person on SoundCloud, and it's called 909 Music. And there's a lot of great royalty free there. There's Muso Open. These are some free ones. They're royalty free and they're free. So just keep in mind that they're free and other people have been using them for their things too. It's always better, I mean, depending on the budget you have, to get it custom made by an artist, or I guess when we come back around, I have a bunch of paid ones that I can talk about.
Yeah, and one of the things I would like to get into maybe after we talk about some of the free things is that if somebody wants to pay an artist to create custom music for them, how do they find them? Like somebody who fits the genre they're going for or whatever, but we can get right to that now, or we can talk about it later, whatever.
Well, I can give a few quick tips, and people discount the algorithms that are out there that you can use. So go to YouTube, you type in something in that genre, and look at what YouTube algorithm generates, because I mean, who knows better than that stuff than the Google algorithms? So then when those artists pop up, yeah, they're going to push the major artists, but you'll have to do a bit of work. But then you'll see, go and look for some of the indie artists. Same with Spotify. Play a bunch of the music that you're wanting to get, and then I guess the next day or however long, you're going to see Spotify generate a playlist based on that. And look through and look for some independent artists. Same with Apple Music. Use those algorithms, because you're the product, if it's free, use them to your advantage. That is always a great way to find sound alike, similar alikes. And you'll have to go through and weed through the major label artists, but you'll be able to find that. And then contact them and ask them for permission. And then just make sure you have it written in an email. It should just say explicitly, I am letting Michael Sterling use my song for his podcast.
Mic drop. All right. Anybody else who's on stage right now have thoughts on where to find either free music that people can use without worrying about copyright issues, or the best practice to find somebody who can create music that you want custom for your program? John, go ahead.
Michael, Sean had a great point. It's something I did, as I found someone is a local rock band and they had a great instrumental song, and I taught them, hey, would you give me permission to use that as the bed music and bumper intro and outro music for my radio show and podcast? They said yes, and they gave me consent to use that in email. So I've got it all the time, and that way is no issue. The reason why they went for it, because it gives them exposure nationally and internationally. And in every episode of the show, the podcast version of it, it has the name of the song and a link to their band and where they can get more information. So it's a win-win for them. But that works well with the smaller independent artists. I would think the big ones, I'll use Marvin Gaye, he's long deceased, but that music's owned by a company, and those companies, they want to pay every time you play it. So I would shy away from groups like that and go with the independent artists. And if you go to independent artists, make sure it's instrumental version, so you're not talking over the lyrics. That's a big no-no. And secondly, it's a lot easier to negotiate something with them and get permission to use that.
Gear, did I see you open your mic? Did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, and this is the thing you got to be careful. I know another YouTube creator who went the independent route, got somebody to do custom work for them, but it wound up a few years later biting in the butt, to where, because that independent artist sampled, I guess, apparently a popular song where just three words were mentioned in the intro track, and his vast catalog intro for all of his videos that he'd done, he had to privatize and edit out all of those intro songs.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's interesting, Gear, because that's happened a few times, and people always say, okay, I'm going to license this from independent artist Jeff, and this is my loud background coming out. So we put in the contract that you are saying, independent artist Jeff, that you own all the copyright and you haven't sampled anything from it. And then you sign that. And then we think we're covered, which is fine. But then what's going to happen is exactly what Gear said. Yeah, it's covered in the contract. Doesn't matter. YouTube's still going to take it all down because they're doing the audio fingerprint. So even though somebody will say that in a contract that isn't the case, then when it does happen, you're SOL because you're going to have to do what Gear's friend did and go and edit it out, or your content won't be on YouTube. So that is part of the reason that I advocate, if you can, to get it custom made one time, you won't even run into that problem.
And here's the other issue also is like, yeah, you find independent artists who create something, and like you said, that's why you want to go custom. But even if they already have something out there, then they want to get exposure, and then when they sign with a major label, then you're back to square one again. Now you have the UMG or BMG coming after you for your whatever monetization you're getting, because you're using one of theirs.
The thing here in that contract, so this would cover it in that contract. If I hired Jeff, the independent artist, it would be a work for hire. So I'm paying him and it's a work for hire. So I own it. He's just doing a service. So in that case, when he gets signed to Universal, they can't come after you because it was a work for hire. And they can't come after you because I paid him to make that thing specific. It'll be in the contract, and they would never be able to come after you. If they wanted, and this has happened many times where that independent artist made something for me and then I use it on the thing, and then Universal says, hey, you know, and they want to, I can sell that thing to Universal because they want all of the things. So in that case, you'd be making money, but because it would be a work for hire, that they can't come after it. So it's about education. And I think we can get back to the topic at hand, but that is a big problem. It's just ignorance, lack of knowledge for indie artists.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It can be frustrating indeed. We do have Suze on the stage, Suze Cooper, a friend of the Sterling Clear Audio community and a host of Twitter Spaces. Hi, Suze. What are your thoughts on the topic today?
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about the whole copyright and licensing thing and the underhandness and the non-clarity of it all probably for hours, but I'm not going to. I'm going to switch slightly. And I am one of those people who will create your podcast audio, your bed, your production, whatever it is that you would like, whether it's like stabs, intros, outros, all those kind of things. And I just kind of wanted to say, if anyone wanted to kind of quiz me on what my process might be or anything like that, if that could be useful to the conversation, then I'm here and happy to answer questions. That's about it, really.
For my part, when I've tried to find music, like for the Sterling Clear audio music that I use, I mean, I went through the StreamBeats library and I just listened to dozens and dozens of tracks and whittled it down. And so I guess for me, if I was going to go to somebody to create music for my program, my podcast or whatever, I would have a hard time even beginning to explain what I would want. Like I'll know it when I hear it. I would, you know, I went a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I don't know.
What we do to streamline that, Michael, sorry, Suze, just quickly, is you make a playlist and give it to us so we'll know the tempos you like, the keys of the songs, and then we'll do that. So that's how we streamline that.
Okay. Suze, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to explain kind of how I approach that. So I've got I basically have a sonic branding strategy that I run through with anyone who I'm going to work with. And it is a whole load of questions which people might not even think are going to relate to what they want to sound like. But when I put it all together at the end of it, I like to think I come up with something that does really reflect their values, you know, and and how they want to sound. And it's about, you know, understanding, as you've just said there, you know, what tempos, what instruments, like what's the DNA basically of your track. And then kind of getting this suite of sounds and checking back in. From my point of view, you know, I'm creating this piece of bespoke music for the client and they've got to love it. So I need to check back in with them that I'm using, that I've got the right sounds and I'm using the right ideas and thoughts to really convey who they are. And it's about working together and collaborating on it and then coming out with a full track, which can then be pulled apart to be used in hundreds of different ways. You know, I find it a really creative and enjoyable process. It's about telling the story of that brand through sound, which is just something that I really love.
All right. Well, thank you for that input. That's really interesting to hear that process that you go through. I do want to pivot a little bit, Sean. I have a question for you because you've mentioned before how Spotify, if you do a podcast on their network or on Anchor, that you can actually use the Spotify music licenses and so on to create right. your own show and so on. So how does that play into all of this? Could somebody just find a song on Spotify and make that their theme song for their podcast if they want? Or like, what are your thoughts on that?
No, that's not how it works. So what you're thinking, that would be somebody doing a new mechanical contrivance and editing a copyrighted audio. So you can't do that. The problem with when we talk about the podcast environment is if you use like an Imagine Dragons song, you can't unless you get permission, and they'll charge you probably six figures if you're a big podcast. So the way it works with Anchor is if you do have a Spotify account, you can use any music in that on your podcast. I'll talk for a bit and then I'll play a song, but you play the full song and any song from the Spotify catalog. And then when you come back, then you talk again. So you can't embed it. You can't talk over it. It'll be, here's my podcast in Anchor. Here's the intro, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to play this song from Marvin Gaye. And then you play the whole song in your podcast. And then when it's done, you come back and you continue your podcast. So that's how it works in Anchor. And with Apple Music, it's you can't do it. Anchor is the only one that can do it because they're using the Spotify catalog and they already have a blanket license for it. And that is the only legal way to use commercial music in a podcast currently.
I figured it was something like that, but I wanted to be clear and maybe make it clear for anybody who is listening.
Should we talk about some paid options?
Sure. For getting Let's go music? For it, Sean.
There are a few, and I'll tell you the one that I suggest, but there's Stock Music, there's Audio Jungle, and Soundstripe. For me and people that I've recommended to, Soundstripe looks like the best value and the most robust. Again, the caveat being these aren't exclusive licenses, so there could be 10,000 people using the same audio that you're using for your show. But what's the good thing is the artist is getting paid. So this is royalty free, but it's not free for you as a user. You're basically, while you're paying this company, the cool thing when you talk about discovery, Michael, is with these paid ones, like I mentioned, Stock Music, Audio Jungle, Soundstripe is my recommendation. You go into the app, you type in your mood, you type in your artist, you type in everything, and then all that stuff pops up. So previously, Susan and I, we were referring to doing custom bespoke music and that interaction. With these services, that it takes that away. And when, Michael, you were saying, I won't know until I hear it, with these paid music services, the discovery is right in there. Put in your mood, put in your tempo, put in whatever, and then these options will pop up. And then you just click on it and you say, hey, I want to use this. The artist gets paid from your subscription money. You download it and you can use it right away. There are a couple of misconceptions, too, that I want to quickly talk to when people are thinking about using music for their podcast. The first one is people think they can use any music they want if they're not making money off of it. So if they don't have a paywall on their podcast or they're not selling it, and that is incorrect. Everything's subject to copyright law. Even if you have a small podcast and you only have a few downloads and you have no plans to monetize, you cannot use copyright music. And some people think too, it's okay if I play less than 10 seconds of the song. The amount of music that you play has no bearing on whether it's legal or not. That's a big misconception, especially in sampling. The artist can sue you, and even if the melody or sound is similar to an existing song, right? That happens. We're seeing that Dua Lipa is getting hammered now and getting sued for a bunch of different stuff. So if it, people think if they just play it quickly for the intro, no one will catch it. No, if someone does catch it, you're SOL. One of the other myths is people think they can use any music they want under the quote unquote fair use. And fair use is legitimate defense for using copyrighted material in some cases, but you can't use a copyrighted song with the intent to claim fair use. And I won't go deep into the weeds on that legal thing, but just know that it's not always the case. And other people think that as long as they give attribution, that means giving credit to the artist, they'll understand. Just because you give credit to the artist, it doesn't make you exempt from copyright law. You need the permission. And lastly, some people think it's okay to use music because you review music on your podcast. So let me just play the song. Playing a song you don't have the rights to is still a copyright violation, even if you even play a short clip of it. And this is why Anchor is good if you are going to do like a music review show or anything. You can do it legally there.
Sean lawyered up just then. Wow, clip that, folks. Tell us, if you could, Sean, please, just to fill in the context a little bit, tell us a little bit about your legal background, if you could.
I went to law school right out of university. My grandmother, my grandmother, my grandfather, my uncle, my aunt, they're all judges, magistrates, lawyers. That was my, that is the family business. And I went to law school, and I went for 2.5-3 years, was just about to finish up, but I took a year off. It's called a deferment, took a year off. And I went to music production school because I had a chance to, and I couldn't give up the chance, and it would always be a deferment. So I ended up not going back, but I still, so I don't have my LLB, I don't have my degree, but I could go back at any time, just finish it off, but I didn't bother. But I write contracts, I still have friends who are doing all that stuff. But as far as the legalese of the music business, it still is my ballpark. So I'm up on the statutes and that those things, because I still write my own contracts for my labels, my record labels, and dealing with the artists that I sign to those labels. That is my background in law.
Okay, thank you so much for filling us in on that, Sean. And I guess a follow-up question would be, if someone within the sound of our voices here has questions about the legalities of all these things, and they want to make sure that they do the right thing, maybe they would not contact you, but do you have any recommendations of a service, an attorney service, or somebody that they should contact to answer these questions?
Well, it really does depend on the area of the world they are in, because depending on where they are, whether it's EU, North America, South America, or they're a Berne Convention country, it really is very local, because some of the laws are very specific to regions in the world and they don't always carry over. The best thing to do would just look for a good local lawyer to get specific information from, because some information you can garner from the internet may not apply to your local region again, because there's been a lot of legislation that has expired and a lot of new legislation that is yet to come in effect that will. So most good music industry lawyers in your local region that will have been around for a long time, and they have a reputation of being somebody to go to. And a lot of them will give freely of their time to educate independent artists. So the key there would be to look to somebody who's been around for a while and who has worked for with medium or major artists or medium or major record labels. That means they're kind of on the inside circle and they know all the little tricks.
Well, that's all for now. Thanks again to each person who added to this conversation, and you for taking time out of your day for Sterling Clear Audio. Join us next time for Everything in Moderation, a simulchat on Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces that you can be a part of. Remember that the Sterling Clear Audio podcast is created from only a portion of our social audio programs. For access to every full-length conversation that we've had, please join the Sterling Clear Audio Club on the Clubhouse platform. That is available on both Android and iOS with no need for an invitation. This program was brought to you by Sterling Clear Audio, building a global community of empowered content creators, also offering personalized one-on-one audio mentoring and social audio production services. For all of that and more, please visit sterlingclear.online.